This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Warning. The following podcast, which contains strong language and mature content, is unsuitable for children or for the faint of heart. The subject matter discussed will be frightening and graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Three spooked girls. When you want to hear about the paranormal, you get the spooked girls, true crime that makes you hypothermal, with the three spooked girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you ask great, along with the spooked girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground. Spooked girls. The three spooked girls.
Hey there, spooksters, and welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. It is Jessica, and as always, I'm joined by my favorite gal pal, Tara.
Hey, spooksters.
And today, because we are doing another vital conversation, quietly said, for your everyday life. I can't because it's trademarked. But we have Justin with us. He is on TikTok, and we will tell you like how to follow him at the end of this episode. But we're going to be talking about the Gabby Petito case today, and he is going to, because I don't think we've actually officially, I think we did like a little micro episode on Gabby Petito once. We haven't really dove into her case. So Justin's going to bring us all the knowledge.
So excited. Oh,
you should say hi. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. Justin's rude. It's fine.
No, you're fine. Well, first of all, I will do my best to bring you some knowledge, and don't think I didn't catch the Lori Denberg reference you just did there. So
happy. This is why I named it what I named it. So
very nice. Very nice. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like your brain is getting in its own way? Like you know what you should do, what's good for you, but you just can't do it? My anxiety was absolutely getting in the way of good sleep. I would be staying up late. I couldn't stay asleep. So it was a lot I needed to get handled. And therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. And therapy has helped me with my anxiety. I have learned so many positive coping skills that it has just made me into a better version of myself. And we want that for you too. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/spookedgirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/spookedgirls.
So when we kind of approached you of coming on the show and doing this segment with us, you brought up that you wanted to talk about the Gabby Petito case. So what kind of sparked your interest in reporting on this case?
So this case, I mean, to really give you the story, let me back up a little bit. When I first went viral on TikTok, it was through narcissistic abuse type material, my parents for that matter. And when the Gabby Petito case started happening, my wife was following it actually very closely. I really wasn't. And then the Moab, Utah footage came out and she was like, Justin, you need to sit down and watch this right now. And I watched the footage with Brian Laundry and his mannerisms, the way he stood, the way he spoke, the way he gaslit, everything about it was very similar to the way that my own mother would do things when she was, you know, being, well, she is a narcissist. You can't turn it off, but, you know, being a narcissist. And so from there, I started covering it. And then I became one of the I guess, more known creators covering Gabby Petito. And then at this point, you know, it led me to, you know, friendships with like Rose Davis, who was Gabby's best friend, and then Joe Petito as well. And it's really just a case that, I don't know, I'm just passionate about, you know, the people are involved are really, minus the laundries, are very good people. And on top of that, we flew a banner around the laundry's house.
I remember that was it too.
Yeah, that was me who did that. Yeah, we did that twice. And Joe found it very funny too, by the way, for the record. But anyway, so that is why. And it's a case that I think, you know, we're coming up on 2 years with it. And I think that it highlights domestic violence, which is always an important topic. It's a weird case. It's still, you know, there's still trials going about it, you know, as far as, you know, civil suits and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody probably knows, but do you mind giving like a quick, like the Cliff Notes version real quick in case we do have somebody listening who may not be super familiar on what this case is, just before we kind of like go in more on it?
Yeah, of course. So basically, Gabby Petito and her boyfriend or fiance, Brian Laundry, decided to do a van life trip leaving from Florida. They converted this Ford Transit van into this thing for two people and just started to like go across country. She was an aspiring vlogger, wanted to be on social media, and they set off. And then a few months into the trip, there started to be a little bit of turmoil between the two of them, where there was fighting in Utah, where we had mentioned this, the Moab footage earlier, the day that happened, mm-hmm. A witness had witnessed Brian slapping Gabby, called into the police. Police found the vehicle, pulled it over, driving a little strange. They start talking to both Gabby and Brian. Gabby ends up basically admitting that it's her fault, even though it wasn't. And what's kind of odd, and I don't know if y'all saw this, but after everything came out with the tape, you look on the tape, she looks great. But there were actually mm-hmm. photos that came out that Gabby had saved on her phone that the Petito Schmidt family was able to pull off of it. And she was battered. It was yeah. very hard to look at. It was tragic. So I don't know how the cops, number one, didn't see that, but you know, she ended up admitting that she had hit him. And so the police could have arrested her. And to be frank, even though she technically was the victim, they should have arrested her because at least it could have saved her life.
Right.
Yeah. For her safety. Because I, you know, I don't know this to be fact, but I would imagine that spending a night in jail would probably lead her to call her mom or her dad, and they would have probably put their foot down. That would have been that. So anyway, so the police stopped them with that. And then there were more incidents that occurred. And long and short of the story is, in Wyoming, she disappeared. Parents couldn't get a hold of her. He ended up texting. I think the last text that was sent from her phone was like, you know, could you call Stan? He won't stop calling, or something along those lines. Stan being mm-hmm. her grandfather, which was just weird how it was referred to. And Brian Laundry ends up back in Florida with her van without Gabby and just mm-hmm. acts like everything is normal. Mowing the lawn, going out with his family, everything like that. In the meantime, the Petito Schmidt family is desperately trying to find their daughter. They finally, after lots of struggles, get her reported as a missing person. And the authorities soon knock on the door saying, okay, well, the van is in Florida. Brian's in Florida, but Gabby is not.
Right.
And then that's when everything kind of broke loose. And, you know, it started becoming a case with national coverage. And it ends up that Brian Laundry, you know, ended up escaping, going into the Carlton Reserve and allegedly killing himself. And I say, you know, okay, I guess the official answer is he killed himself, but I'm going to say allegedly killed himself because I'm not 100% convinced. I'm mostly convinced, but I'm not. And yeah. I have reasons for that. And we can talk about that. But that, did I miss anything? I think that's pretty much the nuts and bolts.
No, that's pretty much like the main. Yeah.
The only thing you really missed sure. was that dog, the bounty hunter, was like,
oh,
super.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Well, the dog, the bounty hunter thing is how I ended up doing the banner. So we can talk about that, I guess, later on. But
I love that.
But yeah, dog, the bounty hunter got involved. John Walsh got involved. There were some big players in this. And then they end up, you know, what I think is really great to mention is the power of social media, because Jen Bethune of Red, White, and Bethune is who ended up finding her. What happened was, when this started getting national attention, she mm-hmm. remembered being in that area. She had a dash cam. They were from Florida and saw another van with Florida. Because, you know, you're that far out west. Mm-hmm. Seeing a Florida mm-hmm. plates is not overly common. So they were going to stop right. and say hi. So she remembered it, went back to check the footage. And when the people who are more technically inclined than I am started to zoom in, it looked like they could see somebody maybe burying a body mm. or something. So that's how they mm-hmm. located her.
Interesting.
It's crazy. That's,
thank God for the amount of like, it's like such a double-edged sword, because like having cameras everywhere has like documented crimes and helped solve crimes, but it's also like there's no privacy anymore. But in this instance, it's really great because
yeah.
someone was able to be like, okay, let's go here. Because I mean, that territory is massive.
It is massive. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people go missing in parks. And frankly, you know, without being too graphic on this and trying to be respectful, my understanding is Gabby's body was not in great condition. So if had she been out there maybe another month or two, there might not have been anything left to find. Then, you know, it would have been a Natalie Holloway, Jorn Vandersloot situation where, yeah, we know that you did it, but we can't get the evidence to link you to it. And I think that's what he was hoping for. And that being said, one important thing that I did leave out that I think that is worth mentioning at the beginning of this is the fact that when the Petito Schmidt family, Gabby's family, was trying to find her, the laundries literally clammed up. They blocked them on social media, blocked their phone numbers. And when the police knocked on their door, they were already lawyered up and gave their card the minute they came. And these are people who have a child. This girl, you know, Gabby lived with them, and it was just like nothing. And it's really disgusting, actually. Yeah.
That for me told me that he did it, because they immediately went into the defense of like, we have to protect our kid. And so, you know, they weren't going to play along like our son doesn't know where she's at types. Like, they just took themselves out of the equation, which ultimately made him look way guiltier if he hadn't been a part of it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the case with Brian Laundrie, I think, and the whole Laundrie family, I think what it taught us is that if you do something wrong and you don't want to get in trouble for it, just don't say anything. Just like, don't say a word at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get away with it. Because I have theories on it, and you know, I don't know if you guys like theories or whatever, but
Jessica's
the theory. I'm a conspiracy theory. I love a good conspiracy
theory. She does.
I will find you proof to back up your theory. That's like how crazy I get.
She's okay, like, well, I will go dig.
All right, well, we'll get this one, I guess, when the time comes. But I personally believe this was pre-planned, and that the family knew about it.
I definitely think they knew, because it's just like, how, if not, how are you this lucky to have done this across the country and then made it back and just be like, chill?
Well, he drove back so quickly. He must have been, I mean, he must have not stopped for anything but gas and bathroom.
Right.
I mean, he made it back. I forget how fast it was, but it was like 36 hours from Wyoming.
Yeah.
It was something,
I was gonna say less
something
than
2 days. Insane. Yeah. It was less than 2 days, which is insane. I don't know how many miles that is. I'm going to look it up, but it's, yeah,
that's hard though. Just even like thinking, you know,
like from my house to Tara's house, it's a 24-hour drive if you drive straight,
and that's further for them.
It is a 34-hour drive if you went nonstop.
So and they did stop a couple of times.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure he had to get gas. You know that.
Probably
from Grand Teton National Park to Northport, Florida, is 34 hours, 2,366 miles.
Well, I guess it depends on like where and, like, he traffic. Was. In the, because that's probably like the closest part.
Well, yeah, that's probably the closest. So it could have been longer, but I mean, he must not have, I guess if you just, you know, killed somebody, you probably have that adrenaline rushing, especially if it was your first time doing it. And, you know, you're probably terrified and whatever, you know, if he got a high from it. I don't think that he was a serial killer type person. Like I don't get that vibes, like some certain other cases that are going on right now that I won't say, cause I don't want to get sued. I don't want y'all to get sued, but
I appreciate that.
But they might be in a state that rhymes with Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but no, I think that, you know, he got back very quickly, and, you know, they clocked him getting in, like, you know, some camera at 10 something in the morning back to Florida. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Just crazy.
I mean, I could see him like having done it, having like disposed of the body, and then calling his parents and being like, what the fuck do I do? And they're like, come home.
Yeah, I'm sure. Bring the van. Because they probably knew if there's no body, then there's no case.
Right.
Not really.
Exactly. Then she's just missing.
Right. And then they can control the narrative. I mean, unfortunately for him, with true crime being as popular it is, nobody buys it. Like, if this was the 50s, people probably be like, oh, yep, she went off on her own, you know, like, but now they're like,
no, poor helpless woman, but she got herself lost in the 50s.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He also is probably banking on it not garnering the attention that it got, because most of these, you know, a lot of people go missing in this country and all over the world every day, and they don't garner the attention that the Gabby Petito case did, or that certain cases just do. Plus, you know, honestly, the family did an amazing job getting it out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. Right. And you have to think too, like, this is like, this was what, 2021? So this is when TikTok was still like semi-new, and so many people use it, but I feel like that's kind of what helped spread it too, because the reach you can get on there is just insane. You know,
absolutely.
I mean? So like we've seen it with all, I mean, just even silly videos, but it's like so many victims' families are using it as a tool ever since Sarah Turney did. And it's like,
right,
it's helped so much because you're right. It's insane how many people either die or go missing at a national park. It's really scary, honestly. So if this had been pre-TikTok, we don't know if it would have got the same attention.
Yeah, they'd probably still be looking. I don't disagree with you at all. I think that mm-hmm. you're 100% right on that. So
yeah.
Well, like, look at the Heather Elvis case. Like, mm-hmm. a young girl goes missing and doesn't get national news until true crime TikTokers and podcasters are, like, putting it out there. Like mm-hmm. to talk about this cold case. And so it's very similar. It would have taken, like, there would have been years in between her going missing and people actually like hearing about it. It became very like sensationalized very quickly.
Yes.
And yeah. And I mean, like you said, there's so many murders. I was looking up because one of the things that Tara and I do is we try to like talk about like Indigenous voices on the podcast.
I think that's awesome.
Like, yeah. And one of the things that is like in that area, in the same area Gabby went missing, from 2011 to 2021, 700 Indigenous women have gone missing.
And they never get press. And you know, the sad thing is I've made videos on it too. People are like, well, what about these, you know, what about the missing and murdered mm-hmm. Indigenous women? And I will make videos. I have no problem doing that. I like mm-hmm. it. But the issue is people don't engage with them. And I can make all yeah. the content we want, but I can't make people engage.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Last year in California, they had a bill that went through. They called it the Feather Alert. And it was basically like an Amber Alert for Indigenous people. So that's that awesome. They, yeah. And I was like, really, I was really proud of it. I was like tracking that bill because.
Yeah.
It happened so fast. And a lot of it, like I got to see the other side of how like law enforcement works, because you have like reservation law and then you have mm-hmm. like county law, and they mm-hmm. don't always, they don't mix. They don't mix well. And so you have someone who goes missing on a reservation, and it could be, and a lot of the times it is domestic violence, and it's not looked at because mm-hmm. county sheriffs can't get in to do what they need to do. The reservation police don't have the resources they need.
Yeah.
And there's not enough help. So that's something I was really proud of in California, is that became a thing and that they can roll out. So it'll be like an Amber Alert. So it'll be on the freeways when we're driving mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So
that's awesome. It's long overdue for something like
right.
that.
Right. They're people. They should, like, they if they people. Go missing, we should look for them.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, frankly, they have more right to be here than us anyway. So, that's true. You know. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that that's long overdue.
Yeah, it's just like I was thinking, because it was something you said earlier about, I don't know if we were recording already or not, but about this possibly being premeditated. That like is sticking out to me now sitting here thinking about it, because if you think in the fact of their domestic violence dynamic, mm-hmm. he mm-hmm. literally took her states away.
Mm-hmm. But that's not even the part that's not the part that sticks out to me though. You want me to share?
No.
I'll share.
Yeah, go ahead. No, yeah. Like no. It was just something I had thought of that I never like paid attention to before, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh yeah, road trip, because the van life stuff, like
absolutely
makes sense. But
yeah, and you know, ahead, he liked ahead. To be outdoors, she did. But no, I'll tell you what really sticks out to me. Yeah, I mean, not as much because they were both outdoorsy people, so that part, mm-hmm. but here's the part that has always stuck out to me. At some point in the trip, when they were in Utah and Salt Lake City, Brian Laundrie decided to get on a plane and fly home to close out a storage locker. Not a unit, a locker, according mm-hmm. to his sister. I've had storage units. Actually, I have a storage unit right now on the other side of Tennessee, and I pay like $65 a month for a 5x5 unit. Okay, so let's mm-hmm. say he paid, let's just say he paid $200 a month, which I think is being overly generous. I mm-hmm, think that right. he probably paid like $50 to $100.
Yeah.
He gets on a plane. He puts Gabby in a hotel for a few nights. And okay, well, hold on. Before I even go to there, this was allegedly so they could extend their trip a couple months. Okay. So he's probably paying mm-hmm. $55, $60, $100 a month, whatever. Let's even say 200 for go for a couple hundred bucks. So $400. How much do you think the round trip flight from Salt Lake City to Tampa was? How much do you think it cost to put Gabby in a hotel for the nights that he was gone, plus food and everything like that?
Exactly.
Much more.
Do you think, like, there's, to me, there is no logical way that was going to, you know, he mm-hmm. spent way more than a couple months of extending the trip would be.
Right.
You know, you weren't spending that much. You were spending, you know, you spent way more to go back there than you would have spent for probably five, right. 6 months more on the storage locker. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's when a planning session occurred.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the parents knew everything.
Oh, I definitely do. I definitely do. It just also made me think of those, like, those memes when they were like, he's buried underneath her, or not buried, but like hiding under her garden
or bunker. the bunker.
Some of that shit was just wild. I was like, y'all.
Some of that shit is always wild. Sometimes, you know, I can't say what I want to about some of the people on TikTok. Yeah. It would not be nice, but
you're fine.
Sometimes people, you're just like, what? Like, where? They don't have you don't have a bunker. You know, like you'd have to have, that would be easily searchable. You'd have to have permits for that. Somebody would have found, but people also like to, you know, I don't know who started that rumor. There is a person, I can't remember the name. Riley Lively knows the name, but I always forget. But there's a guy who he did Brian Laundrie on the boat thing. And he did something during the Idaho case too, that was completely made up, but looked real. And I actually believe I don't say I believe it, but it wouldn't surprise me if the fake police scanner call during Carly Russell, I would not surprise me if this individual was the same person, because he does this type of thing strictly for views, strictly for clicks, strictly for, you know, for everything. And he's on YouTube. He's got a lot of followers, but none of it's real. He never apologizes for it. Worst case, he dumps his account for a couple of months, goes private, and then comes back because he makes a fortune. But then you have all this false information out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Which then you have creators like me and like y'all who have to constantly combat it and be like, no, this is not real. Use your head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. Brian in a bunker, Brian Laundrie on a boat, Brian, you know, all the places that he, I mean, everybody was Brian Laundrie though. It's amazing how generic.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yes. I kind of felt bad for some of those dudes though, because some of them were very clear pictures and I'm like, oh my God, that's like
the guys who are getting stopped at bars because people thought they were Brian Laundrie. Like that had to be real tough to date at that point. If you were that guy, you're like, I'm not leaving my house because literally. Mm-hmm. And especially because some of them weren't even like close to where he was. And they were like, oh, he's in Massachusetts. And you're like, nah, that's just some other guy named like Steven.
Living his life.
There was a guy
can't go to the bar next week.
There's a guy on TikTok. His whole thing was not Brian Laundrie. He looked exactly like Brian
Laundrie. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I remember that guy. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he still got an account or not. But yeah, he was like made the account solely so people would know that he was not Brian Laundrie.
Yes.
So.
I remember that.
You look like the generic white boy that is Brian Laundrie.
It is. He's so generic looking.
Yeah.
Truly.
Ace has been weird too, because then you also had right before she went missing, you had the Mary Piglets incident, which was the restaurant that supposedly got into a fight with. And this was a weird situation too, because originally, you know, all the stuff that came out of it was, and even from other restaurants, I'm just kind of coming back to me that he was getting aggressive with people. There was an issue, something with the check. Gabby had to come back in and apologize for him. But then Mary Piglets, I guess after they got a lot of recognition, decided to, you know, backpedal on their story.
Mm,
yeah. So they, and I'm like, I don't believe it at all. Like, you know, like you guys witnessed this. He apparently was aggressive quite through it. And I think with her too, I think with her too, part of the issue is she didn't recognize what she was in. I think that, you know, like I promise I'm not trying to name drop here, but I know Joe Petito. He is as nice in person as he is on the internet. His family, they're just, Gabby's family is just good people. Gabby's friends are just, they're just good people. And I think that she was raised in a fostering, nurturing, loving environment. And she had no idea what to recognize when she got involved with this group of people.
Right.
And I mean, frankly, I'll even say that I think that Christopher Laundrie, the dad, is probably a victim of the mom Roberta also. I would go as far as to say that, but it just didn't make sense to her. And I don't think that she realized because she was also very young and, you know, she didn't have a life experience to be in this. And she was in this relationship. She was, you know, literally on the other side of the country with this guy. And she was isolated. I don't think she knew what to do. He was, you know, physically, you know, and emotionally abusive to her, you know, that we know of. And I think that she just got herself in over her head and didn't want to say anything. You know, you can't piss people like that off. Didn't want to say anything, didn't know what to do and couldn't get help. And it's really sad.
For sure.
And definitely like where they were at, there wasn't a ton of resources for domestic violence. So I know a lot of people were like, why didn't the police like step in? And it's like, I kind of Googled it, like from where her remains were found to the closest like domestic violence. And it's an hour and 45 minutes. So,
but she wouldn't have gone anyways, because a lot of domestic violence people are too scared because, you know, they can go there. But if you have somebody bad enough, you still have to worry about them finding you and coming after you.
Well, right.
And doesn't do anything.
And the time between like you make the decision to leave and you leaving is the most dangerous time, because that is when that other person gets desperate.
Yeah.
And like if it's not premeditated, it could be this. It could be that she made up her mind. I'm leaving, I'm getting in my van, I'm going back to Florida. You can do whatever you want. And that could have been a snap moment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Could have been. And I, you know, with the way that they were fighting, the run-in with the police, the incident that we know about at Mary Piglet's, and I cannot remember the other incident off the top of my head, but there was a guy from, I believe, Georgia who met him, you know, out west in a bar or restaurant or something. And they were talking. Mm-hmm. He remembered here, or maybe they didn't talk, but maybe he remembered the interaction. I can't, it's my memory's fuzzy on that, but there was another one where apparently he was just aggressive and, mm-hmm. you know, they're in a confined area, you know, a tiny van, you know, with each other exclusively, you know, 24/7, probably got a little tense. There probably were fights where she was standing up for herself or was like, I'm going to leave. And, you know, again, it's all hearsay. We don't know, but
right.
led him to snap and he killed her. Cause even the way he killed her, and I guess trigger warning on this, you know, mm-hmm. strangling somebody to death the way he did takes about 10 minutes. It's a very personal way to do it. He could have stopped. It was not an accident at that point.
Right.
But to do what he did is just, it's horrible.
I agree. And I think, like, especially going back to like the traffic stop video, it definitely, I think, provided a really good example, especially for those who aren't familiar with domestic violence, whether it's themselves or somebody they know, you know, that kind of thing. Because like, that's the thing, like, I think especially the younger kids, like around her age and stuff, don't realize it's not always like the movies with abuse.
Right.
Like there are so many different facets of that.
Absolutely.
On top of it. And the thing is too, like me personally, I've been there too. It's like you as the victim and as the person, you love that person, even though they do this fucked up stuff to you, you love them.
Right.
And depending on the person, and this could have been her, this, you know, she may have thought, you know what, maybe he'll chill out. Like, we're going to have a good time on this trip. Like, things will get better. Cause I saw that a lot in like my comments. And I'm sure maybe you did too, especially when that came out. People are like, why didn't she just tell them? Why didn't she just go with it? Like, it's not that easy. And yeah. It just, oh God, I remember seeing that. And I was just like, fuck. I'm pretty sure I probably texted Jessica right when I saw it too. And I was like, fuck, this is not going to be good. This is
right.
This is really bad. I remember like when we saw it at the very beginning, I was like, I know a lot of people were like, well, of course you're covering her because she's a white blonde. But I'm like, no, there's something with this one. Like there is.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's so fucking weird. And I think that's why it spread so much is because it's like we're in as toxic as the true crime community can be. And
it's very toxic.
Very, very thin line to unethical for a lot of people. But don't get it twisted. There's a lot of great people out there.
Absolutely.
Us three, obviously. But, no, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? It's any niche. It goes back and forth. But the thing is, we're at this time period that's good for stuff like this because kids, Gen Z, us, everybody is like, when we see something weird like that, we actually question it now. We don't just be like, oh, I guess she wandered off into the woods. We actually start talking about it. And with those weird ones, it's like, you know, that's what like engagement happens. And then it spreads and it spreads and it spreads and it became an international story. And I still even say now, because I know some people like are over TikTok and hate it, but I feel like for stuff like this, especially like missing, because we had just talked about Michaela's case and they found her, thank God. But it's like, even those ones that are like that small, stuff on TikTok and things like this, and anyone who's a creator listening to this, like we do have kind, like I'm not saying you have to do every single case that's given to you, but it's like when you have these larger platforms, you do have a responsibility to kind of put your actions, like your money where your mouth is.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's really interesting to kind of see how the true crime community over there has evolved since the Gabby Petito case as well. I know for me personally, I've seen a lot more people start having that open dialogue about ethical reporting because that's what we're doing. Ethical true crime content and things like that. And I know some other creators that I'm, you know, mutuals and friends with, they've pivoted how they present information or what they do, you know, what they cover, because it's like the, especially cases like Gabby's, it can go from here, let me tell you what's happening, to here's the click, like that other channel, like here's the clickbait version. So you'll give me my views because this is trending.
There's people who are into this for the, there are people who do this stuff for the right reasons, people who do it for the wrong reasons. And I will give a shout out real quick to, I don't know if you're mutual with Riley Lively, but she has been on, I don't want to call it the war path, but she's been on a war path calling out some unethical creators lately. And just like flat out, like a Tupac diss track kind of call out.
Oh my gosh.
Love it.
Look, I love this. I probably, once I see her, I'll probably know, but I'm like, I'm horrible with names and stuff.
Yeah, you'll know her.
Oh my gosh. I love this so much. I love this.
It's a fun journey.
Yes. There was this other creator that, sorry, I don't know if she still does content, but it was like she would just find, you know, those like gross t-shirts that are like making puns about like Bundy and Dahmer and shit like that. And she'd be like, no, this is fucked up. Like, I can't remember what her name is right now, but like, I haven't seen her on my For You page in a long time. But like stuff like that, I'm like, yes, we need that. So if she's not, and y'all know who I'm talking about, just be like, hey, hope you're okay. Do more of that content.
right. Yeah. And I do like that there is kind of this like ethical, like people are calling each other out for unethical behavior. I also do see right now on TikTok, there is kind of this like bandwagon of that where people are just attacking true crime creators too, because mm-hmm. they're lesser, like I have a smaller spread or like reach. And so they're like, oh, I'm going to attack this. This is, you and I were talking.
It happened to me last week.
Yeah, where people are just like, oh, this person is super sketchy, blah, blah. And it's every single one of their fucking videos is about how this content creator is a sketchy person because they do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, just no, if they're doing something truly bad, prove it. Call the behavior. Mm-hmm. But if you're like just doing it because the clout people out there who are doing it, you know who you are, stop it.
So I had that happen last week. So I had posted a video where I had misread something. So look, I always try to have the highest level of integrity in my videos and post facts only and stick to facts. Even when things don't logically make sense, I go with the facts that are out there, but I misread something. Mm-hmm. I'm human. I'm a human being. I am not, you know, infallible. So I made a mistake. And within 30 minutes of making that mistake, I took the video down. Normally I do a correction, but it hadn't gotten enough views for me to like, it really necessitated a correction. Mm-hmm. And so I took it down, but apparently another creator, smaller one, had gotten it and apparently just went on the like the war path bashing me. And I responded on it. I was like, you know, I was like, I took the video down after, you know, 30 minutes because it was wrong. I appreciate it. And that's what I said. I said, I appreciate you correcting it with the correct information. Mm-hmm. And then she had a friend of hers came on and said something like ugly about my wife. And so here's the thing about it. The comment that was made, like, I don't know if y'all have ever seen Anchorman, but with the part in Anchorman where like Steve Carell's character goes like, where did you get your clothes? The toilet store. Like her insult was like that level of dumb. Okay. And so I made this video about it. Maybe I shouldn't have. It's kind of petty, but you know.
Hey, everyone's got their fucking breaking point.
Petty too.
Especially like, when it's your people, like your family, your people.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so I did this thing. And the funny thing is this was her best friend. The creator never once stood up for the best friend that did this. And then she ended up, I like never responded to her again, but she sent me messages. She sent me like messages on my backup, my main, my Instagram, sent my wife messages. And I'm like, I'm just blocking. This woman is batshit crazy. And I'm not getting involved with this. But then like, I'm talking to my wife about like, I was like, this person's got like 20,000 followers. I've got 1.1 million. Does she realize like if I really wanted to pull that, like it would not go well for her.
No.
But I think that in and of itself, going back to the ethics of it, true. I think that if you're a good creator and you're ethical and you're honest and you tell people the information they need to know, your account will grow. You know, when people come after creators, especially large, you know, and the thing about larger creators, yeah, you're always going to have people who don't like you on, you know, that's the nature of the internet, right? You got to have thick skin to do what we do. But larger creators are large creators for a reason. People like them. And so when you have smaller creators that go after people that they like, you know, you don't have to do anything. Your fans will do it for you, but those accounts aren't going to grow because people don't appreciate you attacking people that they like.
So, right. And then you're just negative the whole time. And it's like, you're not even like contributing to the actual community you're tearing down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And it's the thing is there's enough, I guess if it's about views and whatever, there's enough views to go around. It's you know,
literally millions and millions of people on there.
Yeah. And, you know, and when people get sucked into a story, they'll go look at every angle they can from every creator that they can because they're interested. Right. They want to get all the facts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't, like you said, you don't need to tear, you shouldn't tear somebody down just because, you know,
no,
just because. Right. And if somebody does post misinformation, and I've had this happen with a couple other creators too. One recently, like London, not London Bridge, her and I are, but I guess it's now London's Notebook. Her and I are now mutuals, and she posted something. I don't remember what it was what she said, I don't think was exactly correct. So I said, no shade at London. I love London. Her and I are friends, but here's what we're talking about here. That's kind of the right way to do it. Like London's a great, she's a great creator. Yeah. She is a great creator, but she's a great creator and you know, her stuff is good, but we make mistakes as humans and you know, we got to look out for each other.
I think that's something non-creator.
We got way off base.
No, you're fine. I love this because I feel like the discussion of social media in the true crime community does go hand in hand with the Gabby Petito case mm-hmm. a lot. So
I do too. Yeah. Because there's ethical ways to do this too. Let's talk about that with social media and the Gabby Petito case and really mm-hmm. all of these cases. This stuff is, and you really want to find out what I'm about to say here. This stuff is not really entertainment. It's news.
No.
Okay. Exactly. It's not here to entertain people. There at the end of the day, there are human beings attached to the end of this, the deceased, the families of the deceased, the friends of the deceased that are having to watch this and they know what's going on. You go back to Rose Davis. Rose Davis got called in and was called. Everything in the book was told that she had something to do with her best friend's death, that she was having an affair with Brian Laundrie. And none of that was true. And people literally went so far as to start harassing her father, you know, and her. And, you know, Rose, Rose is great. She's got, she's I think 22, 23 years old, mm-hmm. maybe a little older than that, but she's got incredibly thick skin for being as young as she is, and she could handle it. But there's other people out there who can't handle it. And
right,
exactly. That's the thing, to go start accusing people with zero facts, it's dangerous.
It was the same thing in the Idaho 4 100%. Case. Those poor, the people that survived. I don't know how much you followed it, Jess, but they were doing the same fucking shit.
Oh, yeah. The roommates, Bethany and what's the other one's name? I'm blanking. But yeah, both of them.
I can see her face.
Yeah, I know what she looks like too. But they must have had something to do. They were texting about it. No, have y'all ever been to a house in college when you had roommates you didn't really know well? Because I've been in that situation. And
yeah, sure.
No, you stay in your room and you're in a college. So to have somebody over that you don't, it's not mm-hmm. that weird.
You're not going to go insert yourself.
Yeah, right. You're not going to think that the person that was just walking out wearing a COVID mask during COVID just murdered everybody upstairs.
Right.
Right. And exactly. Also, it didn't happen in the living room. It's not like they opened their door and saw him Michael Myers style,
and close the door.
Literally.
Yeah. No.
And then was just I'm not going to get involved in this. It's I read, what if they were having consensual sex? And would you want your roommate to burst in when that's happening? You'd be oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Stop.
dude, boundaries.
So it's people, and I think that's the thing is we live in a society where people want to find the bad in every case and put that out, because something you said, it hits. It's they're trying to turn news into entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to take people's stories and basically capitalize on them and be okay, well, this is what happened. And it's so negative and they're so bad. They're such bad people. And it's no.
You don't know anything about them.
Right. Are you mm-hmm. Are you their best friend? Do you know them? Did they come to your, did they come and sit down with you and have tea and be I totally knew they were getting murdered in the next room and did nothing about it? No, that's not what happened. It's kind of hard because sometimes I literally have to take a break. Tara knows this. I have to take a break from TikTok mm-hmm. because I'll be I can't. I just, there's so many, for some reason, the negative hits my For You page. I'm what the fuck? I just want to.
Because we talk about murder, that's why. Because we talk about murder, that's why it's all
negative.
Yeah, right. It's true. I don't do my own TikTok. It's been over a year since I posted a TikTok.
And I think it's been almost 2 years.
No, I did it. I did one last year when my cousin went missing.
Oh shit! George. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I literally had a cousin go missing, and Tara did a case.
Did they find them?
Yeah, she just she just ran away from her family because she's adopted. It's a whole big thing, but and the community really did help because it was putting it out there because they had no clue where she was when she went missing. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And that's the thing too. We obviously think this way, but I wonder people maybe who don't consume true crime really, it's you guys realize we're sharing these ongoing stuff to try to help however we can.
Yeah.
The end goal is for them to come home safely.
Right.
You want them found, and you want them found alive. And unfortunately, especially when you hear somebody's gone missing, time is of the essence.
Right.
In these cases, every minute, every hour counts. So, providing people with updates as quickly as you can is important. Getting it out there is important. And that's what I try to do. That's what I'm sure y'all try to do. And, but I will say this, going back to what you said, it is important to take a break from this stuff. I haven't posted a video in 2 days, which is not much of a break. I probably will tonight or tomorrow, but it's just sometimes you just have to decompress.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. Since we started the podcast, my consumption of true crime has gone way down. I don't watch the same shows I used to. I mean, unless they're fictional shows like Criminal Minds or something like that. Mm-hmm. But because of the fact that one, it gets to my mental health because I'm constantly 100%. Dealing in death. And I shouldn't say never, because we also try to look for funny crimes when we do. We've done a wine heist. We've done the great syrup heist in Canada. We've done the whiskey one. So we try to find ones that have like okay endings where you're like, maybe someone just went to jail and like no one really was hurt type situation. But for the most part, when we pick a case, we're going to talk about someone dying or someone being sexually abused, or it's not going to be pleasant. And so for me, it's just like I can't follow, like, it's so sad. Like, I can't follow other true crime people on social media because it negatively affects my mental health, because I also have to consume it to then turn around and do the podcast.
Yeah. People ask me like, what do you recommend for true crime podcasts? I'm like, I don't listen to true crime podcasts. Like, I don't really listen to much podcast. The one I listen to is called Zach to the Future. It's a Saved by the Bell podcast.
Oh my gosh.
It's made me so excited.
Did y'all not know about this one?
No.
No.
Okay. So, real quick, this has nothing to do with Gabby or crime, but if you guys remember the Zach Morris's trash videos. Okay. So that guy who created those and Mark Paul Gosselaar, who played Zach Morris, did this podcast together.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mark Paul Gosselaar had never seen an episode of Saved by the Bell prior to this podcast.
So is it like a rewatch?
Basically, yeah. It's not even a rewatch. It was just a watch. And and they talk about each episode. And it was done when they were rebooting it, which I don't know why the reboot failed. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, but, I liked it too.
Yeah,
but didn't the reboot fail because they started doing it without like trademark permissions?
No, had like people from the original in it. They were just adults.
And Peter Engel's dead, the creator, so, or director, whatever he was. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So no, they had the original people. I think they had permissions.
Oh, I'm thinking of the movie that came out. There was like a movie that they did.
Oh, the unauthorized.
It was like and it was completely unauthorized. That's what I'm thinking of.
Interesting.
Yeah,
there's also that for Gabby Petito, by the way. Lifetime movie out there. I refuse to watch it.
Yep, never watched it. Fucking Lifetime.
I mean, they have done some bad things, like with the Melendez case, like between the two trials, like two movies came out about this, about their story. So it's like those kind of movies, like they just, what was the, we did the one where the one that my mom was in prison with, Betty, what's her face?
Broderick.
My mom went to prison.
You said that so casually.
Well, that's just my life story.
When my mom was in prison. Yeah.
My mom went to prison because she robbed a casino in the 90s. She walked out like $15,000.
Amazing. That feels like that could be its own episode. Should at the very least be a TikTok video.
Tara, you both can do TikTok videos on my mom. I just have to get you the information. No, my mom is like, she's one of those people who like, she was in a bad situation, and how she decided to get out of it was rob a casino. And she literally like, I don't think I've shared this story. I'm going to share the story because
I think like you might have very, very, very like surface level mentioned it before, but then it was like an end of an episode. We were just like, nope. And everyone's like, what did you just say? And you're just like, nope, we're moving on.
When my mom has since passed, but when my mom was alive, I joked that she was Ocean's One. Like she literally orchestrated, like she had friends who came and basically they would go around to like machines that people had abandoned their tickets at a casino, like slot machines, and basically cashed it out. And she ended up at like $15,000. Wow.
So she didn't necessarily steal.
Well, I mean, it's still stealing. Like you're not.
But they left it there with abandoned money.
Yes. But she worked at her. She worked at the casino. You know the person that you bring your little card up to, or you bring the ticket. She was that person. So she was like, she committed a crime. She committed a felony. Like,
She crossed like state lines. State so that's lines. Like what made it worse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then she went and lived. Like I was talking about this with my little brother. She took my little brother with her because she just had custody of him at the time. And she took him and went to live with some of friends they had made when they were living, because they were living in Reno and then they went to Fresno. They were literally like coke dealers, like not like, hey, here's your dime bag. But they were the kind that like had the locked room with the people like in their underwear sifting through. But she lived in that house. So it was like, and my little brother had like all the nicest clothes. It's like, so this one
on.
Guy.
Hold on a second. So your mom, your mom knows who, like, we know who owns casinos, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like that's a certain like five families kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she went from stealing from the mob, basically, living with the cartel.
Pretty much.
Okay, cool. Tracking this.
Yeah, no, my mom was that.
This is a great TikTok right here. This is a great
there's video. So much too. There's her mom's had a lot of ventures.
So
this could definitely be like a series. For sure.
Help the mom. I should do this. I should capitalize on my own trauma.
You really should.
It's my trauma. So
you're sitting on a gold mine right here.
Oh my God. she literally she lived in this house and then they were like,
vote.
They basically she gave herself up, right? She gave herself up. Like she turned herself in.
Okay.
And basically, the people she lived with were like, okay, you can tell them this information, so they'll be lenient on you. My younger brother's dad came and picked him up and took him. And then she literally was, laying down in the back of, a station wagon. And they dropped her off at the Fresno Police Department. And so my mom ended up being arrested. She was in Reno for a bit. And then she was in Chowchilla in California, which is, a big women's prison. And Betty Broderick? Is that her name?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She was in prison with my mom. She was the one who, her husband, they were, the rich people in, San Diego area. And, she literally drove over to her ex-husband's house and shot him and his new wife.
He probably deserved it.
I mean, I think his new wife
was his secretary.
Let me justify it real quick. Jesus Christ, Tara. But I was like, wasn't his
maybe I should new have said wife that.
Like his? That's fine. No. I'm just
we've already talked about crazy for. Betty. Betty was crazy.
We've already talked about her.
I think that's where I was that's where I mentioned it. I was my mom was in prison with her, and people were like, please back up. And I'm like,
Yeah, you rush over it so casually. It's a normal thing.
And you know? I just am I just nod she just told me it's 7 o'clock because I've known Jessica for almost 20 years. So I've known her mom. Yes, I knew her mom. So I'm just
my mom was so fun. I loved her, but she was she made some choices in her life. And so she basically got probation. And then my grandparents who raised me, they were my parents, let her cash one of child support check for my brother and I. And my younger brother's other baby mama literally called in welfare fraud. So my mom, that's why she was in prison, was a parole violation, not for actually robbing the casino.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Those are some decisions she made.
Those were, and you know what? My mom will be the first person to be like, if you make a decision and you get caught, you got to own up to it.
Mm-hmm. She's not wrong. At least she was ethical about it.
It's true.
An ethical criminal.
I think I was 3 and a half when she got arrested. She was at my parents' house, and just was like, I was like, oh, that's an interesting moment for me. So
yeah, that's a good core memory for you.
Super. One of my first
What's your first memory? Well,
my mom being arrested. No, but I just want to say this, but people are like, oh my God, Jessica's mom is crazy. My mom literally turned her life around. She got out of prison.
Yeah.
She literally was thriving towards the end of her life and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So she really if you met her, you would have never guessed. You'd have been like, oh, she's very she was a little crazy, but you wouldn't have been like, she prison crazy, but yeah.
A little bit of fun crazy is okay.
Exactly.
I do really want to find, I know this sounds weird, but my younger brother and I have talked about this. We'd really like to find the people that she was in the Fresno house with.
You probably don't though.
No, if they're.
No,
if
yes, most of them no, are but like, well, they're in prison. One of them is in prison for life. So I don't remember.
When you're in those kind of crimes, that's a dangerous lifestyle.
That's a very dangerous lifestyle. The people involved in that is really
the only reason we think this is because they used to give us gifts. I mean, I know that's really bad, but my mom would be like, "Here's presents for you," and be like, "Ooh."
They're not all mean. Pablo Escobar did a lot of good things for his community. He also blew up planes.
I don't think they necessarily blew up planes, but I think they were I
don't know if it was.
They weren't up and up for reals.
Yeah. Real fun, side note real quick, talking about death. Apparently, because I just did a podcast on Tupac Shakur, the assassination of Tupac Shakur.
Yeah.
And apparently he tried dealing crack and he was very bad at it. He lasted 5 days.
Good for him. He had a different calling in his life.
They were bad at selling their crack. It took them 5 days to sell it, and then they were done.
They're like, we no can't. More.
This. We're not show people. We're not salespeople.
Yeah, well, I think that's a whole different. That's a whole different thing. But basically, he didn't want to hurt the community that he was trying to help. So,
I'm so glad they're reopening his case, though.
That's why I did so originally for this. The August podcast was going to be about of the Manson family because they just let Leslie Van Houten out of prison. And I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about that. But then I saw that they served a warrant in Tupac. I'm like, well, fuck that. We're going to talk about Tupac. Yeah. I love Pac. I love it. Love him. He's amazing. So
love it.
That is also a plug for my podcast, I guess.
Hell yeah.
You're totally allowed to do that. You should.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did our Patreon episode. We did like a random question.
Random.
Yeah. And there's no limit to what you can bring, as we've decided. If you were on if you were going to be stranded on a desert island, what would you bring? And there's no limit to it. And you can get as creative as you want. Boat. See, we didn't do that one because we were like, okay, we're supposed to be stranded on the island. We were like our Kindle with like a solar charger.
So, yes. So if you were just like dropped off and you couldn't have a boat or any kind of like transportation, because I was like helicopter. Other shit.
Yeah.
Let's count those out.
You have to be stuck on the island. But you can have whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I would want something that could do power, so I guess we'll go solar. I would probably want a record player and my entire record collection.
Nice.
That's probably what I would
want. I love that.
I would like them to drop a very nice house off too for me.
I said a tough shed.
Yeah, tough shed works. I would like a nice house with a metal roof, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yes. I would like to go to a place that someone has already been rescued from and therefore had already built a shelter temporarily. And so then
I want nicer than that. I want it to be like,
No. You said anything.
You said anything and I want it to be like I'm straight on Johnny Depp's island.
We were also talking about the fact that like right now you could probably buy an island in Indonesia because there's like 18,000 or some crazy amount of islands in Indonesia.
I would want to, I mean, if you had to bring something, like you'd want to make sure that you could play it, but music is very important. So I would love to bring that. And let's see what else. Am I allowed to bring, are people counted as anything you want?
You bring people. Ooh, we didn't bring people, but the introverts are like, we don't want people. Go away.
Well, I would want to, I guess, bring my family with me, make them suffer being stranded also.
So then it would be like a Swiss Family Robinson style situation.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would definitely want my phone with a charger and internet because that would be some hella TikToks right there.
Hell yeah.
Just day 345.
I'm being stranded on this island.
People are like, they're going to find him. He turned his GPS location off. Like, he doesn't want to be
like, exactly. Be like Dylan Mulvaney, except instead of like, except being on a stranded island instead of like, hey, whatever, being a girl.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. And then what if it like evolved so much? This is my brain. Sorry, Justin. What if it evolved and it was like the Hunger Games? You know how the sponsors dropped stuff? What if like TikTok, because you have this TikTok channel for you and your family on this deserted island. It's going to have millions of followers. Just
100%.
What if they had a way to like send you stuff, like physical stuff, not like TikTok live gifts, but it's like they drop down from like a
parachute. Like the little, it'd be like
parachute. Like through a drone.
Like in Hunger Games. Yeah.
Okay. I love this.
I'm here for that. I mean, I think I could probably, I mean, if it's a nice island, good climate, not too bad in a hurricane zone, then I think that we're good.
Could be a thing for sure.
The one thing
none of us ever talked about was food. Like if we need to make sure there's some sort of like supply of food.
Okay. Question. Could I bring a cruise ship as long as it's not operational and I could just live on a cruise ship?
Ooh, yes.
I like that.
With a fully stocked kitchen.
If you run it aground.
Stuff. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the ability to like, because then you could take soil and then grow things on the ship. Like, so that, you know, like from land.
Yeah.
I'm there for all.
But then you have run out. But then you have all the entertainment that a cruise ship has as well.
Just you and your family running around a cruise ship.
I mean, it also sounds like the start of a horror movie, but.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Either awesome or terrifying.
I think they should remake Swiss Family Robinson. Is that that's what it was called, right? Swiss Family Robinson. They should remake it.
That existed. I've never seen it.
Oh, that movie traumatized me as a kid. I don't even remember exactly what it was about. I know that there's a girl that ends up with them, and it's a whole weird.
I just know it because of the treehouse at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Why?
That's a fun, interesting question though. What can you bring? We got crazy there for a minute. I do want to talk about, we talked about this before we started. I do kind of want to talk about this because the Gabby Petito Foundation. I'm going to just be an unofficial representative for it at the moment. And hopefully that's okay. But People forget that this exists. So what happened was after Gabby, you know, pretty much immediately after she was found, the family got together to create a foundation. And basically the goal of it was that they don't want any family to go through what they had to go through. They want people to have resources to be able to find their loved ones and bring them home. That was the point of it. But they've taken it a little bit further. And now, you know, one thing that he just did in Utah, and you can Google Joe, you know, Gabby Petito, I think it might even be the Gabby Petito law. I can't remember, but it's a law where basically it's domestic violence. So for example, I'll use California because those are places that I think we'll all know the states on. So let's say that you were in San Diego and you had a call out for DV with your partner and you didn't know, nobody went to jail, but it was a call out, right? Like the police had to come and talk about it. Well, that's in the system, right? So like if you get called out again in San Diego, they're going to happen. But what if you have an argument and you're in San Francisco, the other side of the state? Nobody's going to know.
Right.
What they're doing changes that. They make it so it's a single system that if you are, no matter where you are in that state, if you have a domestic violence situation in one part of the state, the other state will be able to know about it. They call it. On top of that, there are certain questions that are not. Because right now, you mentioned that you were part of, you know, the situation. So I don't know if you had any run-ins with the police during yours, but Tara, but the questions they typically ask are very, I don't say maybe aggressive, but they, for somebody who is a victim, they are terrifying to answer. And these are very disarming questions. They were developed by, I think, a psychologist or psychiatrist, somebody who specializes in this, and they have to be asked in a certain way. Police are getting trained on this to help diffuse the situation and find out the truth of what's really going on. And now they had it passed already in Utah. They live in Florida. So now they're working on getting it done in Florida. So my point is go support the Gabby Petito Foundation. Yes. And it's GabbyPetitoFoundation.org. Their merch is amazing. They use really high quality stuff. Like I bought their hoodies. I love their hoodies. They're great. Their shirts, everything like that. So I just want to give them a plug because they are doing amazing things. They're changing the world. They're taking a horrific tragedy that occurred and trying to make something beautiful from it. I would just strongly encourage your listeners to go check it out, buy some merch because it does go to a really good cause.
Totally.
So I did want to pimp that out. So
yes. Yeah. For sure. Because I feel like it's not really like so much in the news anymore. So it's definitely word of mouth with organizations like that. And I feel like that's a very, very important, not topic, but like they're tackling a very important issue. You know what
they're
I mean?
They're tackling, a very important issue that is long overdue for reform.
For sure. For sure.
I mean, elite people literally die from this. So it's something, and it's not taken care of. But, you know, part of the problem is too, and I know I'm going to piss people off when I say this, I learned this from, I think, Tizian, but if you Google 40% in police, you will discover that 40% of police officers themselves are abusers, typically domestic violence abusers. So, you know, that's, and I think in the situation with Gabby, one of those officers was, that's part of the reason for the lawsuit.
Makes sense.
On Thursdays, we typically do like recaps of documentaries, and we just did one on the documentary Victim Suspect, which is literally about sexual assault victims who are then like the police don't believe them and flip it. So it's like, it's so systemic across most interactions with abuse.
Yeah. I wish we could just normalize, like not automatically blaming the victim the minute, like, you know, believe the victim until you have a reason not to believe. Like, look, there's going to be people out there who are full of shit. Amber Heard, one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Carly Russell is another one recently. But believe them until you have a reason not to believe them.
Yes.
Because, and look, I'm like a huge like fan of Johnny Depp. Love Johnny Depp, and I actually had some inside information about that whole situation, so I knew a little bit more than the average person did. But like, if he was guilty, as much as I loved him, then he needs to be held accountable. But he was the victim. This is what as we learned, and Amber Heard is absolutely insane,
and it makes it really hard for like actual victims to be believed.
It is
because. You know, and I think that's one of the things with the Johnny Depp case is that people they still don't look at him as a victim of this. They look at him as like, oh, he won. Oh, his name has been cleared. But no one's going, wait, she abused it. Like she cut his fingertip off.
Because because it's some kind of toxic masculinity thing, as I'm sure what that kind of is about. But so I'll just kind of share. So my best friend is a guy by the name of Kyler Clark, and he is Alice Cooper's personal assistant.
Ooh.
Now, Alice Cooper is in a band called Hollywood Vampires with Joe Perry of Aerosmith and Johnny Depp. So my friend knew Johnny Depp, knows Johnny Depp, not knew, but knows Johnny Depp very well. And he would talk about the fact that, you know, whenever Amber was around, he would, you know, Johnny would be late to rehearsals. He would, you know, not be in a good mood. But the minute she was on the plane, he was back to his normal self again. You know, it really drink a lot. He would do drugs a lot. But when she was there, but when she was gone.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy he's away from her.
Yeah.
You know, onto hopefully not another toxic thing. But
oof, yeah.
Right. I just like, because I think about like the fact that this could have escalated for him and he could have, I mean, like with the fact that he was self-medicating himself through this situation, like she could have killed him because,
for sure,
you know, he was inebriated. And we know that accidents happen when you're inebriated. And like, if she's being abusive, he might not respond and she might, you know, hurt, really, really hurt him. Like, yeah. I hope that he continues to thrive because he's like, it seems like he is. So
I think so. And he's digging his music right now. They're, you know, they just finished Europe with the Hollywood Vampires. And I think they were playing a couple shows in Boston. And then I think he's done. And then Alice goes on tour with Rob Zombie. But yeah, I mean, he's loving his music. It's interesting. But yeah, but I like, so we talked about a lot of true crime. I had a bunch of different things.
This is how our brain works.
That's how our brains work. This is great.
I like it. Yeah,
that's why I was like, ADD. It's just casual.
It's yeah, I'm happens. Very ADD. And I get off topic so easily.
Yes.
I have ADHD so bad. It's terrible. Tara, so sometimes you're like, come back. Please brain it. Because I will just rabbit hole. And yeah, so.
Well, I think that's what we did here today. And
yes,
but I mean, I really enjoyed this. And I'm glad that y'all, you know, had me on. And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I guess that's how we're going to do. So my podcast is called 50 Words for Murder. Mm-hmm. And it is wherever you want to listen. But the most, I only drop an episode once a month. This last episode is probably my favorite one that I've done. And it is about Tupac Shakur. It was not supposed to be a 2-hour episode, but it was. But the thing is, we never go off topic and it's 100% about it. And it's incredibly like, I know you shouldn't like be super excited about your own episode, but like, I mean, it really was a great episode. I'm like, so excited how it turned out.
Oh no, sir. Yeah. Hype yourself up. Like if it's a great episode, like if you're not excited about it, people won't be excited. About
yeah.
It.
I was like, I was so excited. It killed me not to drop it early. Like yeah. I just was going to like.
Been there. Yes. And that's how you're like, damn, this is going to be really good. Like you're proud of it. You're just like.
It is a masterpiece. Yes. As my daughter would say, but like, it's, that. You know, it came out really, really good. We talked about all different angles. Hopefully P. Diddy doesn't sue me, but,
it'll be okay. Put the good vibes. Yeah, okay.
I just really feel like at this point, if you're a celebrity and you're suing like some sort of like influencer or anyone, like just stop. Like it's just not, it's not a good look for you. You're not going to look. It's people are like, oh, so you're picking on him. No. Like, that's not nice.
Yeah, that's fair. It's not worth it to them. So he didn't sue Eminem when Eminem called him out. So
you should be safe.
You're looking at me like I didn't know Eminem called him out.
No, I'm it. My ADHD brain went, who would have won in a fight between Eminem and P. Diddy? That's where my brain went.
No, actually, I don't know. It depends on what rumor you believe on Tupac.
I'm not super familiar because like what year was he murdered?
97.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean,
I'm the baby out here. It's fine.
I wasn't really that in the rap when I was 50. Was that how old I was?
Now this is going to make me sound it. Did Biggie die first or did Tupac die first? I can't remember.
No, that's totally fine. And Biggie died. Tupac died first, then Biggie.
Okay. Like 6 months later. Biggie was like the East Coast. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a song, and y'all should listen to it when you get off here, but called Hit 'Em Up. And it is the ultimate diss track. Like it is like Tupac is calling everyone out because what happened was in 94, he got shot while he was in New York until the day he died. He believed that P. Diddy and Biggie had something to do with it.
Mm.
Am I crazy to think that Suge Knight is somewhere in this?
100% sure not. It was the driver that night. And it is also believed that there's one theory that also believes that he could have been responsible for Pac's death.
Well, because some people say that the angle was like, could have come from within the car type. I don't remember.
Well, so not to give away too much in my podcast, but there was, so Snoop Dogg got acquitted of murder, right? I don't know if y'all know that, but mm-hmm. Snoop got
Yeah.
And so, okay. So Snoop and Suge were on a plane one night and Snoop was sitting next to him. Snoop was so terrified of Suge that he literally slept with a knife in one hand and a fork in another.
Suge Knight got mad at someone in a recording studio and then went and ran him over.
And backed over him.
Yeah, like
he's in prison for that.
Yeah,
28-year sentence for that.
Yeah, I was like, I had a dog named Sugar growing up and I used to call her Suge Knight. So that may have been where the reference came from. But like, I was like, I'm pretty sure Suge Knight's in prison for killing someone. And I was like, I was not voluntary wrong.
Voluntary manslaughter. Yeah. He is an interesting individual. I told my friend who helped me host that episode. I was like, I almost wonder if like I should reach out to the corrections institution and see if he wants to be like on an episode. I'm like, you know what? I don't even think I want him knowing my name though.
No,
he's gonna get out in the stay 30s. Under the radar.
If I recall, Suge Knight should be out in like,
I think 38,
October of 34.
There you go. Next month's episode is going to be for most people who are under, if you're under 50, you probably don't know this story, but so I own a DeLorean, which is a car, and
I saw your hat.
Oh yeah, so yeah, I got the hat on, but I own one, so it's in the garage, and but the creator of it, John DeLorean, was not murdered, but he got himself into a lot of legal trouble. Where the government posed as basically his cartel to try to get him to traffic drugs. And when he found out that it was the government, he found it was the cartel and it was cocaine. He tried to back out and the FBI posing as cartel threatened to send him his daughter's head in a box. So they took down his company, but a lot of the entrapment laws that we have today are like the majority of them are from his case, but his daughter's supposed to be my guest on the next one.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's gonna be great.
So I'm super stoked about that. So we got some good stuff coming up. So
hell yeah. I love that. All right, well guys, thank you so much for listening. Patrons for watching this video, thank you for watching. Justin, again, thank you for coming on the pod. It was a great conversation, a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah,
and a lot of important stuff for sure. All right. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and see you guys next Monday. Bye.
Toodles.
Bye.